weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
We all know that the city's air quality can be bad at times, particularly around the city centre. It's going to be discussed by the City Council tomorrow following a motion tabled by Councillor Marcus Gearing. Now, Councillor Gearing, although I'm slightly debating if to call him Councillor Gearing or Dr. Gearing, but he's here now nonetheless. Thanks very much for coming in, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Julian, for having me.
So your motion says that parts of the city exceed the recognised limits. How much does that put our health at risk?
I think we need to recognise that NO2, NOx and particulate matter are pollutants that have a very direct health
impact. So that's nitrogen oxide, is that right?
Exactly. Nitrogen oxide and the little particles that especially diesel cars emit. Those are the particulate matter is carcinogenic, but nitrogen oxide can have a direct effect on the breathing and the lungs, especially for the elderly and the very young, right? So we see lots of moms and dads with their children in buggies walking and cycling around the city centre, and we have clear evidence that especially nitrogen oxide limits are regularly violated in the city centre. So we really need to do something, and this motion that we've tabled for tomorrow evening was is just a reminder that we can't sit back and wait for central government to do something. All levels of government, including local government, need to act on this issue.
I've got in front of me here the Air Quality England website, airqualityengland.co.uk, if anybody else wants to look up Cambridge, perhaps. And a number of roads we'll be familiar with listed here. Gonville Place, ironically fairly close to that sign where it says all of the cycling is going on. Newmarket Road, another one. I'm not quite sure where Cambridge Roadside is, but Parker Street, of course, on the other side, I think, of Parker's Piece. At the moment, all these readings agree, and they're all low. So that seems to suggest, at least today, we don't have to worry about anything.
Today, we don't have to worry about the pollution as much. It's low, is still quite low, but we shouldn't forget that 30 picograms of particulate matter is still a significant amount if you look at the Cambridge Parker Street.
So that's the measure, is it? When it says here, for example, if I take the Gonville Place one, it says 24, then in brackets it's one low. What does that mean?
It's a scale from, I think, 1 to 10.
Right.
And 10 is when you're really forced to stay inside and not allowed to go outside. The first three stages are still okay, but we shouldn't be complacent about a low air pollution right now. If we look at the annual air pollution plan, we see that several times a day the legal limits are violated in these stations. And of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that all the time the air pollution is high.
So you're saying just for a few brief moments, it trips over, then falls back down again.
Yeah, and it depends a little bit. Do we have a lot of buses? Do we have a lot of old diesel vans? Then the air pollution goes up. Or do we have moving traffic? Then the air pollution is relatively low. At the moment, because some schools are already on holiday, we have a relatively low pollution period. But if you look, for example, at the first week of September, you will see that air pollution goes up because you have a lot more traffic on the road.
And weather conditions, that must have a certain effect as well, particularly, say, foggy weather, for example.
Yeah, I'm not really a scientist, but I've been told that, of course, especially ozone pollution is very, very weather dependent. So in this bright, sunny weather that we have at the moment, you can have really high concentrations of ozone. And everybody knows about smog. We've successfully, with legal rules, managed to minimize the danger from smog. But it's the nitrous oxide that is really the main health concern at the moment.
And what happened to that talk of the clean air zone? This was mentioned, I think, in the run-up to the general election, or at least before we knew there was going to be a general election, it was being discussed. And I think Lewis Herbert and those on the Labour opposition, or Lib Dem, of course, on the Labour ruling group. I knew what I meant. I just said the wrong things.
We are the opposition.
Yes, so I've sort of temporarily promoted you, but back again. But the Labour ruling group seemed to be very keen to get some. Be a part of the clean air zone, but now it's gone all quiet again.
Yeah, we to a certain extent we need agreement from central government to be allowed to establish a clean air zone. The central government had permitted cities outside London, for example, Birmingham, to establish these zones. But they were taken to court and they had to go back to the drawing board. And we're expecting any week now the new plan from the central government, where we're hoping that more local authorities will be allowed to establish these clean air zones. And that is indeed one of the ways in which we could drastically and fairly rapidly improve the air pollution problem.
You mentioned, for example, lorries is a good one. You don't see too many articulated lorries, thank goodness, driving through the centre of Cambridge. You see buses, but of course you need those in theory to reduce the number of cars which are there.
Absolutely, and we have the bus partnership, which already our main proposal for tomorrow is get hands-on action for idling cars. And buses and vans so that are left running in order to reduce the emissions. But with the bus partnership, we potentially also have the opportunity to completely switch engines to hybrid engines, gas engines, or even electric buses.
I remember in the run-up to the mayoral elections, all of the would-be mayors, including James Palmer, who is now the mayor for Cambridgeshire, and Peterborough, were all keen to a greater or lesser extent on some form of electric buses. The people who didn't seem to be quite so keen were Stagecoach, who said that the buses weren't available yet.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that the technology still needs to develop. But for example, we're going to have electric taxis. Nissan has produced an electric taxi that allows for wheelchair access. So more and more electric cars are running on our streets.
I saw the decision by Volvo, of course, in the last few days to dispense with the petrol engine effectively in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. And I mean, you look around Europe. For example, the city of Oslo from 2020 will not allow any non-zero emission car into their city centre, right? So either you have an electric car in Oslo or you take public transport. That's the alternative. And I'm not advocating to do that in Cambridge. We are still in a relatively rural setting. But the direction of travel, I think, needs to be clear.
Are there any examples maybe from, I don't know if we've got any examples from around the UK, but who's got it right, other than Oslo?
We cited in our motion Westminster Council. They have air marshals, right? So volunteers and council officials that go around and remind drivers that they're not allowed to idle when they are stationary. They're not allowed to leave the engine running because it's those extra
So therefore, for example, if I was, I don't know, stuck in traffic by Parker's Peace, as happens far too often, and yes, I do take my bike when I can, if I was just sitting there, the engine idling, would somebody sort of come along, a gentle tap on the window and tell me to turn off my engine until I got moving again?
Well, not if you're in traffic, but if you're, say, you're waiting for someone to pick someone up from the swimming pool, you leave the car running because it's nicer with the air conditioning, you would have perhaps an air marshal come and remind you that you shouldn't be doing that. You should actually turn your car off while you're waiting and just open the doors. It's those kind of little things, but any gram of nitrous oxide or any air pollution that we can reduce is actually relevant and can make a difference.
I like the sound of that. There's arguably the precedent, isn't there, within the environmental side of the council of issue. I forget if it's the city council or the county council now, which has these sort of environmental waste champions of people who tell you that you should be doing your recycling into your little green bin. So I suppose it has been, it's not that much of a leap, really, if you think about it.
Of course, and we need to think broadly about our alternatives, right? So if we prohibit polluting vans going into the city centre, how can we get the products to the shops? It's what we need is really integrated thinking and linked up thinking in order to address the problem. But for example, installing many more charging stations, making it really easy for electric car owners to use the inner city, and therefore encourage residents to switch to cleaner transportation methods, like we've done with cycling, is the objective of this motion.
We should wrap up, Marcus, but what chance your motion of being passed tomorrow? Because obviously the Lib Dems and the opposition by nature in the minority, would you get support from the Labour ruling group to put this through?
Yeah, we'll see. There's Labour have tabled an amendment. Broadly, I think there's broad agreement across all parties. I cannot speak for the two independents, but I think the Green councillor will be in agreement with this, and then it's more a matter of debate. Can we do this quicker, or do we have to wait for the entire planning process to run for the entire next year, or could we have some action already by October? And that will be the debate, not a debate on principle.
Okay, well, Marcus, thank you very much for coming in. Councillor Marcus Goering, who's talking about that motion being put towards the City Council tomorrow on the city's air quality. Thanks again. It's 6:15.